Welcome to The Next CMO, a podcast for the next generation of marketing leaders. I'm Peter Mahoney, a self-described nerd CMO with experience as the top marketing executive for startups to multi-billion dollar public companies.
And I'm Dan Faulkner. I'm just a nerd.
Typical, Dan. Thank you. So in this episode, Dan and I are pleased to welcome Anita Brereton, the founder and CEO of Cabinet M, for a discussion about marketing operations, the emergence of the category, what's included in it, and the technical and operational implications, and all sorts of other stuff that may come up along the way. So welcome, Anita.
Hello. Yeah. Nice to be here today.
Great. Hey, first, if you could just tell us a little bit, Dan and I, of course, know a lot about Cabinet M, but we want everyone else to know a little bit about what you guys are up to. So give us a little bit of background about Cabinet M.
Okay. So Cabinet M is a platform that helps marketing technology groups find the technology they need and manage the technology that they have. We classify ourselves as a marketing technology management platform.
I bet that's tricky these days because Dan always likes to show me the famous Scott Brinker MarTech chart with how many MarTech companies are in it now, Dan?
They claim 7,000. I like to hold it up and just shake my head in a slightly disappointed way.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think there truly are at least 7,000 companies. We have 10,000 in our database, and early on, we fueled that landscape. But the important statistic is the number of actual technology tools that are being used within organizations. And I will tell you, it is not unusual to see companies using anywhere from 200 to 300 products to acquire, engage, and retain their customers, which is frightening.
Yeah, frightening. Wow. is definitely a word. And is that so? Do you typically see it, that kind of numbers coming from big companies or medium-sized companies? What's the split for the, sort of the company size that's driving that kind of number of systems they're dealing with?
So one of the interesting things is you can see that number in across the spectrum of companies. So you take a company like ours, Cabinet M. We're a tiny company. We're a startup. We're 3 years old. And, you know, we're already using 40 different marketing technology tools. But typically, I would say the average small to medium-sized company is probably somewhere between 75 and 100, and then a larger company, somebody that's at 100 million in revenue or up, is in the 200 to 300 range.
Yeah, that's... go ahead, Dan.
And Anita, are those all specialized marketing tools? One thing I've noticed when I look at the 7,000 companies is that quite frequently, they might be quite generic tools that happen to be being applied to a marketing task rather than specialized marketing tools built by marketers, for marketers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so there are a couple of interesting nuances there. You're absolutely right. So the way we look at tools is if a marketer touches it, it goes into our database. And we find that as marketing teams want to document their tech stack, they want to include those tools like the productivity tools, like the Slacks and the Trellos and the Asanas. So those find their way into the marketing tech stack as well. And then the second nuance is that what's not shown on that Scott Brinker chart is the amount of internally developed technology that companies use
right.
in marketing. And we have seen instances where there's as much internally developed technology as there is acquired technology.
That's pretty interesting because that of course creates a whole different set of problems that you're dealing with. Can you tell us, Anita, a little bit about the kind of people you're seeing in marketing ops these days who are dealing with these things? Where do they come from? The people who have to deal with all these systems?
Yeah, so I think marketing operations is a function that is probably less than 10 years old. It serves as a bridge between traditional marketing and IT. So what we see is that the folks that occupy positions in the marketing operations team frequently come from IT. They're all deeply technical. So they may have come from a digital marketing background, and they are capable of diving deep into technology and analytics, and in some cases, doing some development work themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that implies a couple of things. It implies a pretty technical group, as you said. It also puts a box around marketing operations. Dan and I were having a discussion recently about the way we think about marketing operations, I guess, capital M, capital O. I don't know if that's the right way to make that designation. I mean, the bigger, more generic thing. Does that mean I capitalize it or not, Dan?
Let's agree that it does.
Okay. So the broader concept of marketing operations is we think a little bit more expansive. And Dan, you had a pretty good way to think about this. Why don't you share your view here?
Yeah, I mean, I think about marketing operations kind of as an analog within the marketing function of how we think about operational management more broadly. So for me, marketing operations would include the creation of the strategy, the plan that comes from the strategy, the allocation of funds, and then the monitoring, measurement, and adaptation of the plan as execution is happening. So it's kind of inherently one step back from the front line of marketing execution, but it's really critical to providing all the supporting infrastructure and insight from the data. I think that you should rely on marketing operations people, not just to kind of install the technology and use the technology, but I think when it's done well, it incorporates being able to synthesize the data that's coming out of that very large number of tools and be able to tell a story and draw the right conclusions to drive the strategy forward.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So what I would say is, you know, what you've described really is the function, and what I was describing is the organizational structure. And I think you can make the function of marketing operations broader than the marketing operations team. And the one thing that I would say is that the folks that sit within the marketing operations team are generally not the folks that are defining the marketing strategy. But what they are doing, and I think, you know, the most important thing that they do and that sets them apart is that they have this ability to translate business and marketing objectives and strategy into technology requirements, and then map a strategy for technology, implement the technology, and then measure that back against its ability to impact objectives.
Yeah, I think that's a really useful distinction to define the function versus, you know, necessarily the structure of the team. I think that works.
And Anita, I think that brings us to the concept that you at Cabinet M are working on, which is this new marketing operations stack. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're thinking there?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that that we're doing at the moment at Cabinet M is we have this huge database of marketing and marketing-related technology. But, you know, as you know, Dan mentioned before, you know, you try and look at the big printed landscapes, and it's hard to derive value from, you know, a static landscape with lots of logos. In fact, you need a magnifying glass at this point to even get to the logos. So what we're doing is we're creating this series of interactive technology stacks for key categories. And one of the things that we're working on at the moment is an interactive technology stack for the marketing operations function. Because nobody's ever kind of sliced and diced tools and technology that way. You know, these are the tools that really provide the foundation for the business of marketing. So we've just started this exercise. We're working to about 10 categories. We've already categorized over 200 products. So I always dream when I start these interactive technology stacks that we're going to be able to produce one that has 50 products in it. But once we start digging in, it seems like they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So I expect that we'll end up with something that has around 200, 250 products in it when we're done.
And if you think about the categories that are inside there, what are the major categories of products you see inside that marketing operations stack?
Yeah. So some of the categories: marketing planning, budgeting, resource alignment and collaboration, workflow project management, dashboard, digital asset management, marketing technology management, which is our area, integration platform, because, you know, one of the big jobs in marketing operations is making all of these pieces of technology work with one another.
Right.
Marketing resource management, and we've just uncovered that there's some training programs, online training for marketing operations professionals. So that might actually make its way in there as well.
I think that's a great list. And interestingly, I think some people think about the MRM category, marketing resource management, as being that inclusive, but I think you've broken it out in a more accurate way. Do you think there's confusion about MRM and what's in there versus the broader worldview you have on marketing operations?
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, the good news about marketing people is we're all very creative. The bad news about marketing people is that we're all very creative and we love jargon and we love, you know, presenting ourselves as solving world hunger as opposed to doing a specific task. So one of the big challenges is to really weed through these platforms to figure out exactly what they do and what they're good at. I cannot tell you how many descriptions I read that say, you know, we're an integrated automation platform for all of your marketing needs. I don't even know where to start parsing that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, we find, obviously, fitting in this category for Dan and my company, Plana, we're focused on the planning and budgeting side of things. And as we looked at this world, a lot of people have focused on just a niche of marketing. And they think of, hey, here's your plan, but it's really your digital media plan. And it's why we end up talking about the marketing operations in a more holistic way, because your plan and your budget, which is an artifact of your plan, has to come from a broader place and a strategic place, and which is tricky because you have, as you said, a marketing operations function that tends to be measured by sort of technical capabilities, but they really have to connect the strategy of your marketing overall and connect it so that you can actually execute on it at the end of the day. So I think that drove our questioning in that area. And do you see that rub coming in other areas beyond the marketing planning and budgeting where Plana is?
We do. We see it in all sorts of areas. So analytics is a perfect example where we see that, where, you know, you have these very narrowly defined analytics products. But, you know, if you're trying to look at something holistically, even though you have this niche analytics product, if it doesn't connect with your other analytics products, you can't look at the big picture. And so, you know, in my mind, that's the category that makes my head hurt the most because of that. But I think we see it all over the place. We see people talking about being broad, but not actually being broad. We see companies creating their own new categories where they're a category of one player, and it's hard to discern what they do and where they fit. So it's very challenging to kind of figure out how broad somebody is in their functionality and whether their breadth is right for the purpose being served. So in your case, where you talk about planning and budgeting, yes, you have to look at holistically. It doesn't really help you to just have, you know, your event budget in isolation. You know, you have to look at the big picture there. And then in some other cases, you don't need the big picture. So it's a challenge.
It's very interesting, Anita. I completely agree with what you were saying, and I think the analytics space was a good example. We often see people kind of potentially inadvertently getting buried in tactics because the tools or the technology that they're using confine their view of what's measurable to something that's really kind of quite narrow. Do you see, as you're surveying the broader landscape, do you see any kind of encouraging trends that will be lifting the discipline up a bit so that we can get more holistic views?
Well, I do see more of a focus on integrations. So, you know, companies that are developing the niche products are, you know, putting together an integration strategy from the get-go. And I think that's one of the things that where we at Cabinet M come into play, because companies that are building their tech stacks on our platform can document all of their integrations between their technology tools. And where that becomes really valuable on the vendor side is if the vendor is selling into, a new vendor is selling into that account, you know, by having access to the existing tech stack and understanding where the integrations are, they can look at how they need to slot in and integrate. So I think there's a big, much bigger conversation around integration strategy today than there has been before.
Yeah, that's incredibly valuable information, by the way, that you provided, Cabinet M, Anita, from both the vendor perspective and the brand perspective, where we spent a fair amount of time. And from the vendor perspective, of course, understanding the most important integrations for people, the systems that really matter, and for the markets that matter for you. And then from the vendor perspective, of course, the brand perspective, understanding not only which things are talking to what things, but where are there overlaps. And it's interesting because I know you and I have talked before about one of the areas where people have really enjoyed the benefits of Cabinet M is people who are in an acquisitive environment where you're dealing with different groups coming together and you start to see those overlaps. That's something that you see a lot, isn't it?
It's something we see. Yes, we see a lot. And in every environment, because one of the things that has happened, I think, over the last 5 years is that this technology world of ours has exploded. People have spent like drunken sailors. So when you start to rationalize the tech stacks, you know, the easy rationalizations are when you see that you've got six different email platforms, then you can discuss, do we need six? You know, and it may not be one, it may be two that you need, but you probably don't need six. The bigger challenge is when you look at the functionality of various platforms. And look for redundancies there. So you may not need an email platform and a marketing automation platform, depending on what you're doing with that marketing automation platform. Or you may have a great marketing automation platform that has wonderful email capabilities, so you don't need the separate email platform. So that rationalization is now starting to happen as people get their hands around the stack.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I saw the stat recently. I think the MarTech Group's Scott Brinker's group was publishing a stat. I think it was 29% of budgets are being spent on MarTech these days, and that bears out from our data in Plana. We see that especially with tech companies and sort of mid-sized tech companies. I think you'd see it skewed a little bit differently for consumer brands are spending a larger percentage on media, but you definitely see a lot of spending. And we know, like you, Anita, being a relatively young company, we have, Dan, we were just counting the other day, what we have 30 or 40 systems, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I think certainly between those two.
Yeah. And the effort and cost and complexity of keeping them all integrated, even as a relatively small company, is high. So being able to identify the ability to synthesize and simplify not only cost, which is obviously a huge factor for most people, but getting the level of integration and the benefit of integration by connecting things, and sometimes less is more in this area, where if you can get something that is a functionality that's built into your platform versus adding a separate thing that requires an integration that may not provide 100% of the data, that would be a big benefit, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, I think one of the things that we have to do as marketers is restrain ourselves from jumping on the latest and greatest bandwagon And, you know, we have a tendency to jump to, oh, I need an XYZ, I need a yellow platform. And instead of doing the, I need to be able to do this, can my technology that I already have accomplish that for me? And, you know, I see more thought around that these days. And I think the other big thing that has been surprising, or was a surprise to us, so I'm coming to realize why it's important, is this internally developed technology. So when we started the company, and people would tell us that they had this internally developed technology, you know, we would hear that they'd done that because they couldn't find what they needed, or they needed to write code to integrate various pieces. But what's happened over time, and I think this is very relevant to the work that you're doing in Plana, because you have to account for this budgetarily, is that as marketing becomes more and more critical to driving revenue growth and the cost of the customer lifetime value, and is so critical in that process, that now companies are looking at technology as a potential way to differentiate themselves. And so they're asking themselves, okay, is there something that we can build here that will give us a competitive differentiation? And I find that really extraordinary, because as we're seeing the number of available tools to be bought explode, the fact that companies are now starting to put product managers in place in the marketing department to manage the big platforms and to do the build versus buy decision, and that they're starting to look at all of this technology as a way that they can differentiate themselves and drive revenue faster, more effectively, and improve the customer experience in a way that their competitors can't.
And do you think, Anita, that is born out of genuine gaps in the market, genuine technical gaps in the market, or is it kind of the hubris of the not invented here syndrome that can infect larger companies in particular?
I used to think it was the gap, and I don't think that anymore. I don't hear that as much anymore. You know, I hear it in the New York Times is a perfect example. They have a whole product management function around marketing technology. And, you know, for them, driving subscriptions and content distribution is so critical to the fundamentals of business that while they acquire lots and lots of platforms, they do consciously make a build or buy decision before going out to buy something.
Well, I'll tell you one thing where I see value in having a product management focus, even if it's just making sure that you're receiving the full benefit of the platform you've invested in. I know for us at Plana, my head of product, Dave, is sort of a savant when it comes to understanding and utilizing and integrating these platforms. And there's just a lot of capability, like any software, people use 5% of what the developers build. But if you really understand the capability and adapt it appropriately, I think you can get a ton of value out of it. So having a focus like that, I think, can be really compelling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so what do you see going forward, Anita, that any sort of new concepts and trends around different kinds of systems? What are the new kinds of investments you're seeing companies consider as they start to look at their tech platform for marketing?
So I think 2018 and 2019 is definitely the period of the CDP, which doesn't sound very sexy. You know, it's the customer data platform, because, you know, it was the hot topic 3 years ago. But like anything, it was a hot topic for a year. And then there were some brave souls that put their foot in and started to implement. And the word on the street was that they were very complex and very difficult. But now they seem to have come into their own. So, you know, as much as I'd like to be able to say that everybody's looking for solutions that are enabled by artificial intelligence, I think what people are really looking at right now our customer data platforms and really honing in on what their data architecture and data flow is. So perhaps not so sexy as some of the other things dangling out there, but this is where everybody's actually at.
And the data platforms are really precursors to the artificial intelligence strategy, I guess.
They are, yes, because you have to build the data set.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, Dan and I have some pretty strong views when it comes to AI. And part of the challenge, you know, having come, both of us had worked for a company that provided AI solutions in the past. And part of the challenge is people think of, use AI as a shortcut for software. And so it's overused a lot, but you're absolutely right. And it's in fact, one of the reasons we're building what we call a marketing graph for the way that we look at our data in a much, much more open, broader way to try to glean some really interesting insights about how people are thinking about marketing as we tie these things together. So it's an exciting thing. Well, Anita, we're running to the end of our time, but I wanted to first of all thank you very much for your insights. They've been as typical in all of our conversations. They've been helpful and thoughtful, so we really appreciate that. And you know, we're big fans of Cabinet M. So can you tell both our listeners about how they might learn more about Cabinet M, Anita?
Yes, sure. So, first of all, if you are approaching rationalizing your marketing technology stack or trying to get your hands around it, we've just published a workbook that we'd be happy to send anybody. So just reach out to us through our website, which is cabinetm.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cabinetm, followed by the number one, that's cabinetm1. And if you're going to be out at the MarTech conference in early April, we'll be there walking around. We don't have a booth, but we'd be happy to sit and talk about challenges that you're having managing your stack.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Anita. We really appreciate it. And we wanted to thank everyone else for listening to the next CMO podcast. So please make sure you subscribe and review the podcast, because if you review it, it's going to get found. You can also follow us on Twitter at NextCMO. And tell all your friends how awesome it is. Also, make sure you check out Dan and my company, Plana, on Twitter at plana.com or at Plana or on the web at plana.com. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.